Before I begin, our condolences and love go out to Marisol and Jimmy for the loss of her father yesterday. And also to Jeremy, who's traveling to Ohio tomorrow as his mother is being put in hospice, I understand. And he gets this great opportunity to not only say goodbye to his mother, God's all on time God. He gave me this sermon, and I'm at this part of the sermon, and we're talking about proclamation. And you get to go into that room, Jeremy, and I want you to wipe the slate clean in your mind of what your mother thinks, what she knows, who she is, and just proclaim to her, forgive those that need forgiveness so that God can forgive you your sins. Don't take any chances. I don't care. I've met your mother once. I don't know her. I don't know where she stands with God, but you have an opportunity to make sure she stands in the proper place. Don't take any chances thinking she does. Don't take any chances worrying about whether she doesn't. Just go. And this is your chance to proclaim. This is what God put you on earth for, as a proclamation that you can proclaim to your mother that God loves you. Forgive those that have offended you. And let her know God's forgiven her sins and that heaven awaits her. Do that for us. And when you go with our love. Take us with you. So we're talking about proclamation because it's so important, because it's a spiritual gift. And not everybody has the gift of speaking a proclamation, but everybody's able to proclamate with their actions. When Jeremy is in that hospice room, his reactions will speak more than every word that he speaks. He can be as quiet as he wants to, but his reaction to the things that are going on will speak volumes to those that are watching him. It's like doing a funeral. I have done funerals for the unsaved, and I've done funerals for the saved. Two different things completely. An unsaved funeral, typically the entire congregation's crying because they don't have any hope. A saved funeral, people understand that there's been a promotion. And although they're sad and they're grieving for their loss, but they also have an understanding that their loved one is with God and they will see the loved one again. It's proclamation. And it's the same thing with Jeremy when he's in there in that room. If he's praising God or not, people will be watching. Someday, you'll get to heaven. And I love the Ray Bolt song, Thank You. Because people will come up to you and say, you know, you helped me find God through the way you acted at this particular event. You stirred something in my soul. You awakened something in me, and I started to look for answers, and I started to look for God, and I went to church, and I found God, and you never had any idea anybody was ever watching you. Your life is a proclamation. The way you act, wherever you are, you're making a statement. right, let's go to the first scripture. We started this a little bit last week. I can't remember if I gave you the scripture or not. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. We have a lot of fire and brimstone preachers. That is not what the Word of God was ever for. The Word of God is to build you up. Now, does that mean that we can sugarcoat the truth? Absolutely, it does not. You must know the truth. You must know the consequences of your behavior. Okay? So now, I'm going to give you the consequence of your refusal to proclamate the Word of God. Jesus said it, I didn't. If you deny me to other men, my Father will deny you. There is no harm in telling somebody God loves them. Don't assume they know. There are people that do not know that God loves them. I like to do this. I like to hold the door open for somebody at a restaurant or store and say, God bless you. That's proclamation. No, I'm not going to get into a sermon. No, I'm not going to preach. But I proclaim God to them. So simple. So sweet. Sometimes they smile. Sometimes they turn around and say, God bless you. Which is good. I could use the blessing. Sometimes they ignore you. That's on them. Too many times we allow reactions to dictate who we are. Your reaction to me saying, God bless you, is on you, not on me. I have an obligation to proclaim the Word of God. And that's a way for me to proclaim it to those that need it. And I don't know. I may never see those people again. So I don't know. I don't know if they're going to go home and think about that. I don't know if they'll think about it 6 months later when they're going through something. I don't know, and I don't need to know. We don't need to see the results. We just need to be obedient to God and do what he asked us to do. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Isn't that amazing? Because we worry about our doubts, and anybody who tells me they've never had doubts, I believe is not telling the truth. Boy, did I say that nicely. Wow. I didn't know I could be that nice. All right, I'm not going to be that nice. They're lying because we all have doubts. At some point in your life, you had a doubt. Why? Because the devil put it there. And you're not going to get me to leave. The devil's left you alone. I do not believe that. I believe the devil has talked to you from time to time. I believe he's still talking to you. And I believe that he'll do anything he can to put doubt in your mind of whether God even exists. Here are the disciples. They're the men. They're the ones. And yet they still have doubts. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I have all the authority. Therefore, because I have authority, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I have some reservation I gotta try to put this the right way of evangelists, the big name evangelists that come in to the town, hype your emotions up, get you to emotionally come and accept Christ, then they leave town. And there's nobody there and it was an emotional decision that they will have forgotten about in a week. But they'll talk about their numbers. 200 were saved. Probably 20 were saved. Because we have a deeper obligation of building disciples, making disciples. In other words, when they accept Christ, you can't leave them alone because the devil's going to attack them. Now's the time to come in and begin to teach them about God and show them God. Oh, this is the most misused scripture in the Bible. And teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, we use that as God is with us always, no matter what. No, when you're doing this, he's with you always. I have so much trouble with trying to teach people that God is not with you all the time. God's a holy God. He abandoned Jesus. Do you not think he will abandon you? On the cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? In other words, why have you abandoned me? Where did you go? I have never been without you before, and all of a sudden I find myself alone. Why? Because God is holy. That means he will not participate in sin. Jesus died to take your sin. God could not be a part of sin, so he separated himself from Jesus. That means when you're in the act of sin, do not think God is by your side. God is a holy God. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you, but the Holy Spirit is not going to participate in your knowledge of sin. I know I'm not supposed to go into this strip club, but I'm going to go anyway. You're not taking God with you. That's not what this scripture means. God will be with you always. He said very simply, when you're proclamating to others, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, surely I'm with you always to the end of the world. As you're helping others, I am with you. As you're teaching others, I'm with you. As you're being an example to others, I am with you. I'm not with you in your foolishness. I'll never understand the forgiveness and grace of God because it's inconceivable. How you can do whatever you want and God will forgive you and love you as if you never done it. Because we don't quite have that ability. But that's God. You worry about your past, but God isn't worried about your past. You're worried about the things you've done. God's not worried about the things you've done. He forgave you. And he's with you as you walk the walk that you're supposed to walk. Is there another scripture on this? He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. And I think when this began, God said this to the disciples. First here, then there. And I have great concern because the work of Christ needs to start here. We have people so eager to hop on a plane and fly for 20 hours without ever doing anything here. Nothing wrong with missionary work. Praise God for it. But you also need to understand there's a mission field right here. In fact, we were in the mall about a week ago, and a lady come up to my wife and said, can I pray for you? She was a missionary from another country that came here. You never hear of that, right? She was a missionary that came here, and she was in the mall to win souls. There's work to be done right here. Can I tell you something? There's work to be done in your family. There's work to be done with your circle of friends. There's work to be done with your coworkers. There's work to be done. Go into the world. And some people get the idea in religiosity, in a religious spirit, that they're to not cohabitate with others outside of Christ, and it's a false theology. You're not supposed to yoke up with them. You're not supposed to be their partners. They're not supposed to do a lot of things, but you have to go into the world to save the people. Now, if you go and they influence you, you shouldn't go anymore to that particular place, that particular people. If you're going to go there and they're going to tell you, oh, we don't need to go to church Sunday, we should go over to this place. It's okay. That is not what God's talking about. That is your opportunity to proclaim who God is to you. I would love to go with you. We're going to have to do it at another time because I need to be in church. And we can celebrate your birthday. We can celebrate your anniversary. We can celebrate whatever it is we need to celebrate. We can celebrate it tonight. Or we can celebrate it tomorrow. Or we can celebrate it Tuesday. Or we can celebrate it Friday. But Sunday morning, I have to be in church. I need my time with God. God's working out some things in my life. And I need to be there. That's proclamation. I will have people come up here and cry. I'm praying for my Aunt Susie. She doesn't know God and blah, 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 blah. And we pray for her. Then Aunt Susie comes into town. Did you bring Aunt Susie to church? No, Aunt Susie brought you to the amusement park. So why are you up here praying for her for? What are you wasting my time for? You just showed Aunt Susie God does not first in your life. Do you not realize Aunt Susie's soul is at stake? And you need to do everything you can do to proclaim to her that there is a God, because one day she's going to find out the truth. I must be hitting close to home, but there's a lot of quietness going on. It's the truth. Go into the world and preach. Preach with your standards. Preach with your morals. Preach with your faithfulness, your dedication. Preach with your words. Preach with your actions. Preach with your heart. There are a lot of ways to preach. A lot of ways. Do we have another one? Three more? How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Can you go back and think that there was a first time that you heard about Jesus? There was a time in your life you did not know he existed. Hard to go back to that time where you, and I'm not talking about the time you got saved, I'm just talking about the first time somebody mentioned the word Jesus. You might have been a little kid. You might have been a teenager. You might have been an adult, never heard the name Jesus. But there was a time. What if you just assume the people you're talking about don't know who Jesus is? Assume they never have heard the name of Jesus. Assume they have no concept of who God is. How are they going to call on him if they don't believe in him? How are they going to believe in him if they haven't heard about him? And how are they going to hear about him if you don't tell them? How can anyone preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. When you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have accepted the responsibility of living out a Christian life. And many shirk that responsibility. Let the preacher do it. Let the elders of the church do it. Let the pastors do it. Let the bishop do it. I got a better idea. You do it. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. I did a sermon about fishing for men. And in the sermon, we talked about how to win somebody to Christ and how you can't have the same MO for everybody. Some people will react to this, others will react to that. People used to ask me, we used to have a lot of concerts. There was a time when COVID just changed church completely. You have no idea how much COVID changed church. Before COVID, we had a regular group of people that came through here to do concerts, right? We had Take the City, we had Jericho, we had rock bands, we had Southern Gospel. We had just all kinds of concerts here. And people would say, how can you have a rock concert and a Southern Gospel concert? Because the rock concert reaches a certain group of people for Christ, and the Southern Gospel reaches another group, and I'm trying to reach everybody. I don't care what kind of concert it is. I may enjoy the music, I might not. I had a rock band call me up one time, and they said, nobody will let us play in the church. Well, what kind of music are you playing? It's Christian music. It's about God. All of it? All of it. When you want to play. Brought him in here, and it was loud. You would hear it from your house, probably. I mean, it was loud. I mean, it was just mind-shattering loud. It was terrible. I mean, loud-wise. When it's so loud you can't hear it, it's terrible, right? Yeah. All those old people say, yeah. The young people are like, louder. 3 people were saved that night. 3 people were saved that night. And they wrote me a letter thanking me for being the first church to open their doors to them, and said, since that day, other churches have opened their doors to them. Wasn't my music. But I want to get the word out to God to everybody I can. I studied my son for a while because he's a fisherman. And I figured out the attributes of a fisherman, a professional fisherman. He has 8,000 different types of tackle. He has 200 rods and reels. He knows when to go, when they're going to bite. He knows where to go. He knows what bait to use, where to throw it. He knows how to fish. He's made a living at it for the last 22, 26 years. If he wants a bass, he's got to use a particular type of bait. But if he wants something else, he's got to use some other kind of bait. Be prepared. You don't know who's going to be in front of you. You don't know what type of person. One of my early preaching experiences was to go to Miami and preach under a bridge to a group of homeless people. It was daunting. First of all, I didn't have experience. I think I had preached 3 or 4 times before that to a church. It's a lot easier to preach to a church. It is not so easy to go under a bridge and preach to homeless people. What do you tell a homeless person about the goodness of God when they don't know where they're eating next? They don't know if they're going to be able to get out of the rain. But God said, be prepared. I don't know what kind of person I'm going to have to talk to God about. Could be an addict, an alcoholic. It could be a businessman with more money than he'll ever spend who doesn't think he needs Jesus. It could be a lot of different types of people. But God says, be prepared. With great patience. Had this neighbor, she was Jewish. And me and my buddy would go over and share scripture with her and tell her about Jesus. That's another segment of society that can be very difficult to talk to. And we did this for a long time. We probably had been to her house a dozen times at least. And then one day I get a phone call. She said, I went over to this church and I accepted Jesus. And I was happy and angry at the same time. I've been to your house 12 times, you wouldn't accept Jesus, but you go over there one time and you accept Jesus. With great patience and careful instructions, I forgot that God said some people plant the seed, others water the seed, and somebody else will harvest the seed. We're all in this thing together. We're to work together to proclaim God to other people. Sometimes you can proclaim God by just simple saying, hey, you know what? I got this great church I go to. Why don't you come and meet the pastor? He's a really weird guy. Whatever you need to say, depending on who you're in front of. I've had people say, he's in the construction business like you are. Common denominator. He's weird like you are. Common denominator. I'll be anything to anybody if it helps me get the word of Christ to them. One more. Pray also for me that whenever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. You know what I hate? When I see somebody take out their notepad when they're ready to pray. I don't want your preconceived, thought-out, worded prayer as much as I want a prayer from your heart with the Holy Spirit guiding you. I never think about a prayer ahead of time. I let God guide me into what I'm going to say. What do I say? I don't need to tell you what to say. God will tell you what to say. He knows things about that person I don't know. I could tell you what to say. I could tell you how to pray. But I'd be wrong. When you want to pray for somebody, relax. Here's how I do it. This ain't on me, God. Nope. I'm taking the responsibility to do what you said to do. That's it. Now I need you to do the rest. And I'll pray for somebody and they'll look up. How did you know? How did I know what? What you said in the prayer? I don't know what I said in the prayer. I don't have a clue half the time. I was gone. I wasn't there. The Holy Spirit was there. I could have done it on my own. But getting people to understand they don't have to do anything on their own. God is with them. That's what he said. Surely I will be with you to the end of the world while you're doing it. While you're out there active, I'm with you. I will help you get you through it. And yeah, you might shake the first time. I remember the first time I preached, my knee shook so bad, I thank God that I was behind the pulpit. But I got through it. And I said, I ain't never doing this again. Never. And I'm coming off the stage. I'm so thankful it's done and over with. And so I'm so thankful I will never have to do this again. I will never volunteer again. Until I got about a third of the way down the aisle. And some young lady jumps out of her seat. I'm only in my mid-20s at this time. She jumps out of her seat, tears falling down her face, jumps in my arms and hugs me, and she says, I have to go. I have to go home and tell my husband everything you said. And the Bible says, in spite of our foolish words, he can reach you. It ain't on me. In spite of my foolish words, he can cause you to be reached. Isn't that amazing? God knows how to encourage you. And instead of leaving there dejected, I left there encouraged. Because I know I reached one. And I know that one was going home to reach another one. But you know what we need? That we pray for one another. Pray for Jeremy tomorrow. Pray for him today. That God gives him the boldness to not be the son, but to be the disciple. He needs those prayers. Pray for each other as we know that we're facing all kinds of things in this world. And we have all these opportunities. And we get so hung up in our activity that we don't even see the opportunity that just passed us by. When you come across somebody having a bad day, yeah, I've had some pretty bad days. What I found helped me is I go to church and I learn about God. Would you like to come with me next Sunday? I could pick you up. Well, I don't want to know anything about God. Okay, that's great. If you ever change your mind, you know how to get me. Be patient. So pray for me so that I can make it known, so I can make Jesus known. For which I am an ambassador in chains, pray that I might declare it fiercely as I should. I pray for you that you can declare Jesus fearlessly. I promise you it only hurts for a little while. And then you don't care anymore. I don't care how somebody reacts. I'm never obnoxious. I don't ever walk up to somebody and start praying for them. But I will walk up to you and say, can I pray for you? I see that you're limping. I see that your arm hurts. I see that that customer just gave you a really hard time and you're upset. Can I pray for you? And then I'm just going to go ahead and warn you. Then God will start giving you assignments. Go pray for that person. And early in Pastor Marjorie's Christianity, God gave her assignment. Go pray for this lady. What was she limping or what was she doing? She was just walking to work and Marjorie said, go pray for this lady. And Marjorie's driving around the parking lot because she's having a conversation with God because she don't want to go pray for this lady. She don't know this lady. And it's in a mall parking lot. Strip mall. And she disappears into one of the stores. And she says to God, if you tell me what store she's in, I'll go pray for her. First store. And there she was. And she asked if she could pray. And it was a beautiful experience. And it gave her so much courage to now she can walk up to anybody and pray for anybody at any given moment. But she didn't want to do it. What am I trying to tell you? You got to push past what you want and do what God wants. What do you want me to do, God? I'll do it. I'll do it. And you will learn how to proclaim the gospel of Christ with your life. All right, we're going to the next one on the list. Distinguishing spirits. So that's what's next on the list. Okay. Distinguishing spirits is a gift that we should beg for. Because I run into these Christians all the time who think they only hear from God. The question is, how do you know? Because you think the devil's dressed in red, holding a pitchfork, using cuss words. Now, what the Bible says, he disguises himself as an angel of light. In other words, he disguises himself as the Holy Spirit. He disguises himself as Jesus. He disguises himself as God so that you can't tell the difference and you will fall for his antics. First thing I do when I hear something, I want to know where this is coming from. I've seen people pack up and move out of state because they said God told them to and it was the devil. Everything God tells you to do will lead to a fruit basket. He's not going to tell you to do something that doesn't produce fruit. If you think you've listened to God and you find yourself in a desolate place, then it wasn't God. It was the devil disguising himself as God telling you where to go. Discernment is a gift that pastors get fairly easy. Because without it, we couldn't do our job. I have to discern what you're really telling me. Because most of the time, what you're telling me isn't really what you're telling me. You're telling me something else. But it's not what you really mean. You have to have a psychologist degree. I want to know when God is talking to me, And I want to know when the devil's talking to me. When you start thinking When you start believing that God is creating separation from other godly people, it can be pretty obvious that you're listening to the wrong spirit. We're going to do the first scripture, and I'm going to have to close. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Our problem right now is we have spirits coming through the internet, coming through Facebook, TikTok, talk too much, chat talk, all the things. And with ridiculousness, so far from proper theology. And people buy into it just because they heard it. I don't understand. Do not believe every spirit. I don't care if you believe what I'm saying, if you go look it up yourself. And I tell people, I had this pastor in here one time, and I said something, and he got so mad at me that he was spitting red. I mean, he was mad. I mean, he was angry. And I went to him, and I said, "Brother, why are you so angry?" "Rah, rah, 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 rah." I said, "No. Go. Open your Bible. Make a case against what I said. Back it up with scripture, come back and show me, and then I'll agree with you. But I'm not agreeing with what you think, but I will agree with what God says." He tried so hard to disprove me. And he would come back, and I'd say, "Well, you ready?" "No, no, I'm not ready yet. Still looking." "Okay." And finally, one time he come about a month later, I said, "Figured it out yet?" He said, "Yeah, I figured it out." I said, "What have you figured out?" "That you were right." If you're going to listen to something, go find out the truth for yourself. I regret the days of my life that I spent in places that did not understand God, but claim to. And I regret preaching a gospel that wasn't completely true, putting limitations on God, being in a denominational church that didn't believe in the power of God. And I regret those days. So I'm not believing anything anybody says until I see it, till I find it. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That is what Facebook predominantly is: false prophets. That's why they're on Facebook. I don't have time to do the rest of this. We'll cut it off here and we'll pick up here next week. Thank you for coming today, and I hope you've been encouraged to know that it's so important to make a stand for God, and that others know where you stand. Because making a stand for God without others knowing where you stand is not making a stand at all. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you, Father, for giving us courage strength and ability. Because without you, we couldn't do any of this. We just have to understand in our hearts that we're not without you. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Give us power, God. You said not to be around people that are powerless. So we invoke power, God, asking you for it. Guide us, lead us, and direct us. Give us opportunities. In the name of Jesus, amen.